It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 8 o'clock hour on the fan. Shout out to Ak coming through with some comic relief right there. Getting ready for Thursday night football as the Texans face off against the Jets over in the Meadowlands, Jet Life Stadium tonight, as the lights are out and the fans are getting ready to turn up there. I don't know, maybe we'll get some more comic relief from the Jets, but maybe not. They're favored, -3. I don't know how a 6-2 team is an underdog against a 2-6 team that just lost 5 in a row. I don't know. It's the NFL. It's a short week. Usually a short week favors the home team. So maybe we'll get a good game tonight. What's the over-under, 43? And a half, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what it's going to be. Rock fight, potentially. I think Stephon Diggs is hurt, but C.J. Stroud is one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, and they've got some good defensive players over there, and they've got D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans coming from the San Francisco 49ers. Like, that's what the Jets thought they were getting in Rob Saleh. And here we are with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams' first home game. I know Aaron Rodgers played well in his first MetLife home game against the Patriots. Maybe Devontae Adams puts on a show tonight. I don't know. Maybe it takes 3 weeks to click for Jeff Ulbrich as the head coach for them to know how to use their timeouts and get set and run plays and get the D. I don't know. We'll see. We're about to watch the Jets for a little bit. Keith McPherson on the fan cam and 1 hour down. I think the first hour really just laid into game 5, the culture of the Yankees, trying to hold them accountable. And you as fans are going to suffer. I don't know. I saw kids wearing Yankees costumes today. I felt bad. I'm not like that. I can't do it. As much as like people that know me already know that I bleed pinstripes, like I could not go outside with my Yankee jacket on today. I could not go outside with my Yankee hat on today. It is shameful. There's no pride in going out like that. And we'll suffer as fans until they say, okay, we got to do what's right. We can't cut corners. We can't leave a stone unturned. We can't just say, Let's just put DJ LeMahieu at first base and, not really address it. And Rizzo, and one more year. No. Or think that we traded away 7 players to get Juan Soto. That's good enough. Like I said, they were front-loaded with Stanton and Judge. When Judge, who was a ghost, Stanton, Judge, Soto, it's just like, oh, firepower. But there's an article floating around right now, and I was just talking to Ack about it. I was like, Joel Sherman has been on one. I mean, not just this year against the Yankees and Brian Cashman, but if you remember those GM meetings out in Arizona where Brian Cashman told those people, I think I'm pretty effing good, or at least he said, I think we're pretty effing good, when they were talking about, his mistakes and his past, and he was criticized for a lot of the moves that he made, and, nobody asked him about Sonny Gray and Joey Gallo, but he had an excuse for that. Cashman's had a pocket full of excuses. He's got a line for everything. The cheating Astros, which I understand, right? Maybe the GM shouldn't say it, but someone should remind anyone that says the Yankees went on a 15-year drought, that we don't know what would have happened if the Astros didn't cheat. 888-808-1019. Like, you should always correct people when they leave out parts of history. But that's another excuse. Talking about injuries, guys getting hurt. You're supposed to be prepared for that. The Dodgers had a bunch of injuries this year. Shohei got hurt in the World Series. They were all right. He played through it. They carried him. So it's not good enough. And you as a fan are going to suffer because people love to troll the Yankees. I am unfortunately a child of the 90s who no one told who to root for. I picked the Cowboys and the Yankees, and they're becoming one and the same. somebody tagged me. I think it was my boy Chris tagged me in a meme where it had Aaron Judge evolving into Dak Prescott. And now basically, you know, that's saying regular season hero, postseason zero. I'm like, come on. And the drought with championships, I mean, the Yankees are halfway to where the Cowboys are, but like, they are the butt of every joke right now. People love to drink Yankees tears. The world is celebrating. The world, they didn't watch this whole season. They don't know how we got here. They don't know the peaks and the valleys. They don't know the moves that were made. All they know is, okay, the Yankees are back in the World Series. Oh, Dodgers. I don't know how many, like, I don't know how many comments I saw about Freddie Freeman, brooms, all this, the Dodgers own you, F the Yankees. Like, we got to wear that until the New York Yankees say, okay, we're going to do what's right. And we'll get into the Juan Soto conversation. I don't know if paying Juan Soto more than anybody else in baseball is right. That price is going to go up. That's how it works. Scott Boras had that young man prepared. It's business. I mean, Scott Boras is looking for revenge for last year. He's looking for his big payday this year. So we'll get to some of the Juan Soto quotes. We've got some of that clipped up. We're getting ready for this Thursday night football game, which is going to start in the next few minutes. But I still want to take your calls on how you're feeling, what bothered you from last night's game or game one or two or three. If you were in the building, let me know. Like, it is an exercise in just getting it out. And I think a lot of times if you call the fan and you just express what you feel and get it off your chest and listen to the rest of the show, you'll realize it. As you know, time is going on tonight. We're about to be 24 hours since that loss. Life goes on. That's another one in the books. That one's going to sting forever. It's a stain that they can't remove. And we got to see what happens next. 888-808-1019. Sal out in Queens. You got it.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing? I'm a fan of your show. I listened to you on the overnight about 2.5 years ago, about 1 o'clock to 1:30 in the morning. Good show back then.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, I think it's the Yankees, they blanked the bed, bro. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They blanked the bed. That's exactly what the Yankees did last night.
So they pissed down their legs. They wet the bed. I've never seen a choke meltdown like that. In the moment, I was in shock. I wanted to puke. I was sick. I was visibly ill. My wife will tell y'all, like, I knew it was happening. Somebody stop this.
I feel your pain, dude. I'm calling for another reason too, because you made a comment in the start of your show. Not a comment. You were just talking about Yankee Stadium, the music, how at the end of a loss, they're still playing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, correct?
Yeah, because it's a tourist attraction. That's part of the show. That's part of the visit. Everybody gets to hear that song on the way out, no matter what the result is on the field.
But a couple of years back, and I was going there where I can remember. I was there where I remember. It was in 1999. No, I'm sorry. It was the 2000 playoffs. I was at the stadium when the Yankees beat the Seattle Mariners for the Yankees to meet the Mets in the 2000 World Series. And I had that all mapped out in my head, Keith. And I thought we were going to get a repeat of that. Boy, man, was I let down.
I'm glad we didn't. Thanks for the call, Sal. You know, I know there's Mets fans that are, they're sipping the Yankees tears, and there are Mets fans that are peacocking about taking the Dodgers to six in the championship series, not getting to the World Series. But yeah, I thought about that. I'm like, if it was a Subway Series, the Mets might have swept the Yankees. And if you think you're having a hard time today, you would have been in a living hell as a Yankees fan dealing with that. That's something you can't, like, I know it's theoretical. I know we got to use our imagination and think really hard of what you don't. You don't have to. Carlos Mendoza would outmanage Aaron Boone. They had left-handed pitching. They had more hitting. In this city, they swept us in the regular season. Yankee fans, you know in your heart of hearts, if we matched up against the Mets, it could have been Mets in four. And talk about a stain you can't remove. You got to read this article from Joel Sherman. I'll read a couple cuts from it. I see my guy Joe's McFly is putting some stuff out, and John Boy is putting some stuff out. It is crazy. It is crazy. So, I mean, we've watched this all year. That's why none of us are surprised. We're just so disappointed. And that's why I said the regular season is not the postseason, but you can't just flip a switch. You can't just turn it on. You can't just turn the corner. You are what you are. So there's a line where, you know, it talks about the Dodgers and how thrilled they were. They were thrilled at how short the Yankees' leads were. Like, they wanted to face the Yankees. They were talking about the Yankees' base running. They were talking about the Yankees' outfield position. Said their metrics had the Yankees as the worst position outfield. They were amazed how many times relay throws came skittering through the infield. Think about how many balls went over Judge's head or past Juan Soto in this series. Like, people were on Verdugo to take Verdugo out. Verdugo played the best of anybody in the outfield. His defense was the best out of anybody in the outfield. Juan Soto and Judge had balls go past them, go over the head. Juan Soto and Judge, like, I don't know. They're both playing out of position. Judge should have been in right field. But obviously, you know, we had to do what we had to do. Man, they talked about the Yankees base running, worst base running team in baseball. The Dodgers knew that all they had to do was show up and play their game. They have to do too much, and the Yankees were going to give it to them. They were going to give them the game, and they did. That's exactly what they did. Eddie's in Waldwick, New Jersey on the Fan. Go for it, Eddie.
Hey, Keith, big fan. Grew up on the Grand Concourse right by Yankee Stadium.
Yes, sir.
Judge can drop a fly ball. Bopey makes a bad throw, but there's no excuse for Cole not being at first base. I'm 60 years old. I play in an over 18 softball league, and every ground ball first, you run right to the bag. And that was the key of the game. I know he's a great pitcher, but that's taught in spring training. The first thing you do is run to the bag.
As good as he was going, he will forever be mad at himself for not hustling it to first base. But I'm telling you, I've watched that play probably 10 times since it happened. The way Rizzo fielded it, Rizzo had a better shot of getting to first base than Cole, than Mookie Betts. But Rizzo is 35 years old. He's not moving like that. Mookie Betts is fast. Mookie Betts is athletic. I don't know.
Rizzo didn't charge it.
Yeah, they were paralyzed in the moment. They got that ball. Just went into a spot where Mookie Betts, I think, beats Cole. I think even if it's a bang-bang play, Mookie Betts is safe. But you are 100% correct. Cole can't, like, misjudge it and point at Rizzo. He's gotta be good. It's a World Series. You gotta at least make an attempt.
Yeah, I was so – that bothered me. I couldn't sleep all night. I mean, I know you can drop a high ball. That happens. I mean, Judge is a great outfielder. I mean, putting it all on him is not fair. The guy, you know, he's a – I know he's not Jeter, but he's a great captain. I mean, I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, but we're going to put it on Judge. Thanks for the call, Eddie. He doesn't get absolved because, you know what, Judge? We shouldn't have been in this position because you had plenty of opportunities to drive runs in. You had plenty of opportunities to make an impact at the plate where it shouldn't have come down to that. And how did that inning start? It started with a routine fly ball that you have to have 100 times out of 100. If you have it 99 times out of 100 and the one time that you don't have it is in the World Series, we go home. We had a 5-run lead in game 5 in the 5th inning. There was some weird 5-5-5. Something happened. Something cosmic happened where Judge lets that ball go past him. Doesn't make that play. Crazy. And that opened the floodgates. That was whatever that broke the dam. And like, I've been saying this the whole week. I've been saying it the whole year. They go as he goes. If he struggles, they struggle. If he doesn't make a play, it's in their heads. What's up with Judge? They look at this guy as a god. They look at this guy as a baseball god, a man amongst boys. They look at him as like, as I said, we've run out of words to describe what he is in the regular season. It's unfortunate the way we're describing him in the postseason. Let's go to Sevy in Norwalk, Connecticut. Sevy, you're on the Fan.
How are you, Keith? I hope, aside from the Yankees, life's treating you well.
Life is treating me well. I got to take my son out as Cookie Monster today. And awesome. Like I said, I no one said anything to me about the Yankees. And I'm very, awesome. Like, much looking forward to being Dada and not going to the stadium. And, like, I'm relieved it's over.
That's fantastic. That's what it's all about, brother. That's what it's all about. Hey, a couple of things. You know, one, you said a couple of times, hey, it's the World Series. You got to do this. Hey, it's the World Series. You got to do that.
It's the highest level of competition. This is it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Keith. You can't turn on fundamentals. You can't turn on culture.
You're right.
In the World Series. It's got to be the whole friggin' year.
You're
the
right.
Whole, okay, and you can't turn it on. You could turn on energy. You could turn on focus. You can get excited, your adrenaline. But you can't turn on fundamentals, and you can't turn on culture. This crap has been going on the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
The base running's been atrocious the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what. You and I may differ a little bit about the roster. I don't think it's awful. Okay, I don't think it's great.
I don't think the roster was good enough to get to the World Series, but there are cracks, there are chinks in the armor. There are things that when you get to the highest level, it's like, wait, you don't have anybody on your bench. Your bullpen is not good enough.
Yes. But I'll tell you this. You said culture early in the show, and I lit up. That's why I dialed the phone, because, okay, I'm older, all right? I've seen some of the great Yankee teams over the years. Whenever I talk about them, the younger guys roll their eyes like I'm a dinosaur. But I'll tell you this. I'll go back to the last dynasty, all right, the Torre years, all right? I think about the culture on that team. They had an assistant coach, Larry Boa. He beat the crap out of some of those infielders if they weren't doing the right thing during the year. Okay? He was a hard ass, all right? He was all over Alfonso Soriano until Soriano ran out every ball and did everything the way it's supposed to be done. When Jeter was a rookie, he made a boneheaded running play. He got thrown out. And what did he do? He ran into the dugout and sat directly next to Torre. He went there to take his medicine because he knew he had to take his medicine, because he knew he wouldn't get a pat on the butt and say, "It's okay, kid."
Yeah, you're in trouble. We're going to hold you accountable. It's not okay. Right. You know that better, do better.
That was the culture, and that's why, along with a great roster, that's why that team was great, okay? And that's the biggest hole in this team right now, and that's where I want to come back to you, and I got to ask your opinion. You're Hal Steinbrenner. What do you do now? I'm asking you, what do you do? If you're Hal Steinbrenner, what do you do now? What's your next move as far as the structure of this team? Cashman, Boone, everybody wants to fire everybody. I got my opinions. What do you do if you were Hal right now?
I don't know. I don't know. And thank you for the call, Sevy. I don't know if Hal feels the way that we feel as fans, because they did get back to the World Series. They did plant a new money tree. It just didn't really grow very far because it was over in five games. But, like, this was a successful year. We're not going to see it like this. We're going to hate this year. We're going to look back on this year and think about what could have been. But I don't think Hal is so uncomfortable that he's going to fire people. Now, you guys love to talk about if George Steinbrenner was alive, George would be rolling in his grave. George would be doing somersaults back. He'd be trying to get out from his grave after seeing what went on in that fifth inning. What went on in those five games? Are you crazy? Everybody would have to go. Start over. Not good enough. Unacceptable. But I don't think that they look at it like that. Because even after 82-80, status quo, laissez-faire, no, we're pretty good. We're all right. Let's just keep at it. Baseball's hard. We'll be good. And that's why I say we're going to wear it as fans until that changes. 888-808-1019. We are going to wear it as fans. You are going to be embarrassed. You are going to be mocked, trolled, memed into oblivion. Your friends are going to send you direct messages with Yankee jokes, your group chats, your text messages. You are going to be roasted. Because there is no accountability. There is cha-ching accountability, if you follow what I'm saying. Let's go to Liz out on Long Island. Liz, you're on the Fan.
Hi. Hey, Jaron. Well, first of all, I would like to thank the New York Yankees for giving me a very exciting year and watching them go as far as they can. Now, could you imagine being in the center field and you're Judge, and you drop that ball, or whatever, how do you think he feels?
I saw him. And I was watching him. I could see his face. He was sick. He knew. He knew that's a huge mistake.
So, radio station, sports writers, all of New York hating on him. And this is one of the problems in New York. You hate on these guys. What do you think they're going to do?
No, this isn't hate. Liz, I was in left field. Like home run territory. I could see him. The fans started to chant MVP, MVP. We love this man. We were trying to pick him up. We're not hating on him. The criticism comes when you make $40 million a year. The criticism comes when we know how good you are. We expect more of you.
Oh, really? So this is what I think. More criticism. I hear criticism, unless it's just from the guys in the afternoon, you know, talking about it. They're only human beings, okay? They made a mistake. It was horrible. I felt horrible for them. But they were trying so hard. And I want to congratulate Judge on hearing that he father. And
these theories, and I obviously can relate with a 1.5-year-old maniac cookie monster, just baby monster that lives with me. You know, when you're a first time father, life changes completely. When your wife is pregnant, life is different completely. But like, that's life. Judge is a big boy. Judge is a $40 million man. What are we talking about? I don't know, maybe Liz is a mother and has some type of compassion. This is sports. This is New York City. We have gotten hella soft. What? We're not hating on him. The criticism comes with the territory. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. This is the most valuable player in the American League. He cannot consistently come up small. That is a routine play. There are 15-year-old kids that make that play. If you can run to your right and make that catch going up against the wall, you have to have that one in the World Series, bro. He knows it. He would say it. So we're not hating on Aaron Judge. We love Aaron Judge. We're disappointed in him. And when someone you love isn't acting right, when someone that you know is capable, you said they're human beings. We know they're human beings, but they have superhuman athleticism and ability. We have seen Judge do ridiculous things. He did it in that game. So when he lets us down like that, you don't just give him a pass and say, congratulations on a great year. No, that is glaring. That is forever. That is permanent. Because maybe if that goes differently, we're on air tonight talking about Game 6. What's Carlos Rodon going to do? Okay, we're going to see Yamamoto again. Wow, pressure's on them. 888-808-1019. Like, I don't know. Speaking of, like, kids, like, my son is going to have a hard time growing up with me, and I don't care. My wife and I are already going through it. You're too hard on him. I don't care. The world is going to be hard on you. It's not easy out here. I'm going to be tough on him in our house, so when he steps out of our house, when he's away from me, he knows how to conduct himself, how to win, how to fight, how to succeed. I'm not like, we're not, nah, hell nah. I'm not going for it. David is in Wayne, New Jersey. David, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks so much for taking my call. You know, I just want to talk about the Rizzo-Cole thing. I know everybody's talking about how Cole should have been covering first base. But Susan Waltman, a couple of years ago, there was another incident where, I forget if it was a playoff game or a regular game, and Rizzo didn't cover first base. And Susan was talking about that afterwards. And she said, he does not cover first base.
If you have watched Rizzo, like Rizzo, even the way he fielded that ball, he was like, let's be certain I got this ball with the spin on it. But there is no Rizzo athleticism of I'm gonna run. Like, I've seen first baseman get the ball and they don't even look at the pitcher. It's mine. I'm making this play. And that's what you need out of a guy that's won a World Series, that's a Gold Glover veteran in that moment. Hey, I'm getting this ball and I'm running to first. Because there's no way in hell with the situational awareness am I gonna expect Gerrit Cole to beat Mookie Betts in a foot race after Gerrit Cole is sweating out this inning and Gerrit Cole is trying to get us through it. I got to come through for my pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I think of is in Major League when he bunts to go to first base and he totally, like, destroys himself and he knows his body is shot. And it's the playoffs. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's the World Series. You got to bust it. You shouldn't be out there then. Thanks for the call, David. You shouldn't be out there then. John Birdie makes that play, but John Birdie's not on the roster. Cabrera probably makes that play. Run. And I think, like, let's hold the Yankees accountable. That's going to be glaring when you decide who's going to be on first base next year. Get me an athletic first baseman that can hit for power. That's a liability right there. The cracks in your armor show. You will get got. Baseball is crazy, man. The baseball gods are cruel. That was a cruel way to lose. And like I said, give the Dodgers credit. They are some dogs. They are some stone cold killers. I was watching them. Like I said, I was in left field. I had a good look at their dugout. They could smell blood in the water. You know why they could smell blood in the water? Because they knew, oh, you're going to let us back in this game? Oh, if we make this happen right here, we're celebrating on your field, and we know what time we're getting on our flight no matter what. You might not be getting on a flight. You know who will be getting on a flight with us? The Commissioner's Trophy. Nick is in Westchester, New York on the Fan. Go for it, Nick.
Yeah, Keith, I spoke to you a while back. I'm 80 years old. I doubt if you get too many 80-year-olds calling you.
No, but thank you.
Yeah, 1952, you were very good to me and respectful. I'm going to give the younger guys a perspective, and I'm going to refresh your memory because you're young and still sharp. I called you when the Yankees, I think it was this year or maybe the 2022, but I think it was this year, when they were building up a good record, maybe it was 50-20, and they were calling up, comparing them to the 1998 Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, wait till they win the World Series and then compare them.
Nick, you remember what I was saying? I was saying we did this in 2022. Can we not do this again? Can we not compare them and their records to every great Yankee team? Yeah. Let this team become a champion. Let them become a great Yankee team.
Yeah. And now to summarize, if you give me a few minutes here, Boone made the tremendous errors in the first game, and that's why they lost. If Judge I'm not saying home runs, just got singles and doubles. Go back, watch every game. He was always struck out at an opportune moment.
Don't strike out 20 times in the postseason. Don't lead the series in strikeouts. You're the MVP.
Yeah. They would have been leading.
You're a 3-20 hitter. Come on.
Yeah, they would have been leading 3-1 starting last night's game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's been playing baseball all his life, and we all love him. There's no doubt. We love him. He's a great player. He's the captain. But he's making $40 million. Liz tried to give him excuses. Watch what he did. He made a little league error when he came in on that ball.
Yeah.
He was glimpsing at the guy on first base.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
That's another thing.
Why? Why? That guy wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, what are we doing? You're up 5-0. Make the outs. Right? I was counting down the outs in that place. Thanks for the call, Nick. Because people were getting too, like, I don't know. I don't know. People were getting too happy. It was a party in there. It was warm in there. People were already talking about L.A., game 6. Don't let us get one. I'm just like, yo, this game isn't over. You trust the Yankees? They cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. Gabe, you're on the Fan.
Keith, thank you so much for taking the call, man. You know, for all of us, obviously, it's been a past 24 hours that I'm sure we want to forget real quick, but I think it's important that we remember a lot of this. So, you know, I want to talk about two main things, right? One, the game yesterday that we saw is a microcosm of this entire season, okay? If you were to put together a three-hour highlight reel of the 2024 Yankees, it would look just like game 5, right? You got the big moments, the big home runs, right? The big at-bats from guys like Judge, Stanton, Soto, right? Things that get the crowd really excited. But then you got the defensive miscues. You got the base running errors, right? Yeah. I'm thinking about the blown save versus the Royals with Clay Holmes back in June, right? Putting somebody in there that shouldn't be in there in that moment, right?
Yep.
You got the head-scratching bullpen decisions, like, you know, in the game with Tommy Canley, right?
Tommy Canley's got to face three batters, guy. Yep.
And it's not saying Canley hasn't been good, right? It's just those are the kinds of strategic decisions that you have to make as the manager, right?
With your life on the line, you got to be better than
right.
that. Yeah.
Right. It's the cold streak with runners in scoring position. It's the same stuff that we've seen every month of the past year. For the past couple of years, these are the Aaron Boone Yankees, right? Yeah. And
they find a way to lose. They literally find a way to lose. Another game where Judge and Stanton homer, and you find a way to lose in the postseason. Yeah. They did that twice in the CS and the World Series.
The Yankees have no problem setting history when it comes to setting, like, infamous history, right? So yesterday, it's never been done. What happened yesterday has never been done. A meltdown at that level has never happened regular season or postseason, right? And that kind of brings me to the next point, just thinking about Aaron Boone as a manager, right? I'm not going to sit here and just denigrate the guy outright. But one thing that I will say, right, he is trying to be Ted Lasso. All right. I don't know if you've seen the show. I love the show. I love Ted Lasso. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Great coach, right? I think he's even used the, you got to have a 10-second memory, right? Have the memory of the goldfish, right? Put it out of your head kind of a thing. He's used lines from the show in his pressers, right? And I get that. You're trying to be a player coach. You're trying to get the team to kind of rally around you. But it just hasn't worked. All right, you've created this culture, this environment, this atmosphere of it's okay, we got tomorrow. It's okay, yep. We got tomorrow. What happens when you don't have tomorrow? You know, and when you
weep and sob in the clubhouse,
exactly.
and there are reporters telling us how their guys have red eyes and are hugging each other and right. crying.
You know, and one thing I'll say about him, right, is that he's not the worst manager in baseball. He's not the best manager in baseball, but there's
but
no value
team,
add.
And for this yeah. city, I don't know if it's ever going to work because I feel like, Gabe, they try to shield them because of how hard we are as fans and how critical the media is and, you know, the number one media market and there's so much attention. It whatever. Let it be hard then. Let it be tough then. Because you know what?
No,
we love our players. We love on our players. When you actually come through and win, you are a champion in this city. You are an icon forever. You don't pay for things here. Look at how Jeter gets received.
Correct. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, like, listen, if you compare it to the manager in the other dugout, right, Dave Roberts, I'm going to be honest with you. Dave Roberts hasn't had a good streak in Los Angeles either, okay? He is a championship coach because, yes, A, he made a couple of better decisions than Aaron Boone did in the World Series, but B, he has a franchise that has made all of the right moves from a roster decision.
They're overcoming.
From a roster perspective,
yeah.
right?
You got so much talent, you can't mess this up. You can make some dumb bullpen moves. Freddie Freeman is going to bail you out.
Exactly. But that's what you need to do if you're Cashman. That's what you need to do if you're the New York Yankees right now and you want to stick with a guy like Aaron
right,
Boone.
Because he's your handpicked guy. So stack the deck. Thanks for the call, Gabe. How many times did you hear me on this station say, stack the deck? Please get greedy. Stack the deck. Don't think that because you have Judge and Soto and Stanton, that's enough. Because wherever there's a little bit of a hole, wherever there's a weakness, wherever there's an Achilles heel, that's where you're going to get got. I would get greedy. I would get to this World Series. I don't get to do this. I just talk about it. I would get to this World Series, and it would piss me off more than going 82-80. 82-80, you can chalk up to, well, obviously they didn't have enough talent, but Judge got hurt. You had the talent this year, and that might have been your only year with Juan Soto. I would be so mad about this. I would leave no stone unturned. I would watch all of these videos of these highlights. We need better out of the bullpen. We need better at the bottom of the order. We need better. We got to do better. And I would be so motivated to get back because it's not like the American League is like, the American League is not as good as the National League. The Yankees can get back to back World Series. They can get back next year, but you're probably going to run into the Dodgers again. And, you know, we got to go to break here. 888-808-1019. Dodgers fans were ready to fire Dave Roberts thinking that he was about to lose in the DS to the Padres. They were ready to get him up out of there. Now they're giving him his flowers. And I don't think he's a great manager at all. But he's got so much talent, they overcome it. And the Yankees had an opportunity to be up in this series. They 100% should have taken that game one. And then because you blew game one, that bled into game two. And you gave them an advantage. Shohei did nothing in the series, right? I don't know, man. This one is going to sting. This one is going to be a permanent stain as Yankee fans. We're going to think about this one forever. Like, you know, 2000, everybody kept talking about 2004 and 2003 and 2001. Man, that was decades ago. This isn't even 24 hours ago. All right, hour and a half into my five-hour show. Keith McPherson on the Fan. When we come back, we'll also start to talk Juan Soto. We'll play some clips from what he had to say last night so we can get away from just, you know, the errors and the mistakes and how they blew that game. Don't go anywhere.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Fan.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
right back. Quickly here before the 9 o'clock update. Every day I'm hustling, man. What a hustle it was this week. Driving to the stadium, getting up there early, watching the game, then trying to get back to the station. Even though my shows were cut short, it is what it is. I would have liked to be on longer. I think C-Mac did a great job. I enjoy his shows. A lot of nights I can't sleep, and I hear you guys call C-Mac late. And, you know, C-Mac's a little bit older than me, so I think he knows at least, you know, 5-10 more years of, like, Yankees history that he watched. And, you know, I know he watched with his dad, and I know he played, and he's definitely a baseball mind. And I like to listen to C-Mac and how he breaks down what he saw in the games and how you guys react in the overnight. And, you know, like I said, it was a hustle for me to get back from the stadium. So many people on the train, so many people. Like, one of these nights I left my car in the parking lot. I don't know if you guys heard me when I told that story two nights ago. I had left my car in the parking lot, got just trapped in the parking lot. We couldn't get out of the parking lot. The traffic was just ridiculous. So I wasn't trying to miss my show, even if it was a, you know, 30-minute show. I footed it, tried to get to the train, and there were so many people on the train. People were coming up the stairs because you couldn't get to the turnstile, and I ran to the spot that I knew I could get to, got on the back of a train, and made it here. And I'll remember all those experiences forever. I'll remember this World Series forever. It didn't go the way that we wanted, but they were not going to beat the Dodgers. They beat themselves. 888-808-1019. We're going to get to some Juan Soto talk in a minute. We're going to get to some Jets talk in a minute. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a couple calls before we break. Dave is in Merrick. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, first and foremost, I want to say thank you. I think you're just an absolutely tremendous talent, and love your passion.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I heard a really interesting idea from John Smoltz, of all people. Curious your take about it, of how to get rid of these bullpen days, which is that you can start whoever you want, but the second that you go to a reliever, you lose your DH, now that that's universal in both leagues. I just wanted kind of your take on that idea.
I don't know if they're going to do that. I would be better. I was actually talking to Ack about, like, we're in the World Series watching a bullpen game, but, hey, not for nothing. That was the most exciting game for the Yankees. Like, that was 11 runs scored. The Yankees needed that. That made Yankee fans believe for a night. Give me a bullpen game. You know, it is what it is. It's just modern-day baseball, and they had injuries. They didn't have, you know, a full rotation. And I mean, they were able to literally throw those bullpen games, give games away. That's how good the Dodgers were, that they were able to say, ah, bullpen game, we'll overcome it. And they did. I don't think that MLB is going to have any type of penalty or any type of rule to change that. I think they're fine with it. I mean, think about all the things they've changed in baseball. Like, at least we don't have Manfred's man on second and extras once we get to the postseason. The pitch clock is here to stay. The bigger bases are here to stay. Before you know it, I'm telling you, they're going to realign. They're going to shorten the season. I think before Manfred is out in 2029, they're going to change the divisions. They're going to realign. I mean, even the postseason format is different. Like, it's just going to keep changing, but I don't think that they're going to change that. I think they don't mind that at all.
Got it. And it's a great segue to my second question, which is that this talk of greed and expansion, if you're watching the two highest payroll teams play against each other in the World Series and both had holes, albeit the Yankees much bigger than the Dodgers, Dodgers somewhat fueled by injury, I just can't imagine that there are 52 more guys that you want on a team and what that gap would be from the top tier to the 33rd and 34th team in baseball. Just seems a little bit too much if you're going to expand. I'm just curious your take on that.
Baseball is crazy. Thanks for the call and the compliment, Dave. I mean, in a year where we saw Tropicana Field get destroyed, which is the second to worst ballpark in baseball, now the Tampa Bay Rays don't have a place to play. And we also saw them close the Oakland Coliseum, which I think is the worst park in baseball, and now the Oakland A's can't play there. They're going to play in Sacramento in a minor league ballpark. The same year that happens, we get Yankees, Dodgers, New York versus LA, East Coast versus West Coast, all the stars out in the, like, dream that the World Series was for Major League Baseball. The ratings were up, everybody tuned in, and they did get a classic. Even though the Yankees didn't show up, there were some classic games, classic moments. You know, Fernando Valenzuela passing, and then, you know, tomorrow they're going to have the parade on what would have been his 64th birthday. Freddie Freeman and, you know, his son's health battle that he went through and health scare that he went through. And I mean, now it came out today that Freddie Freeman also had a rib injury on top of the ankle. And that guy was an absolute demon in the series, like just was on one, like carried Shohei. Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto signing with these guys and them actually getting it done. Mookie Betts winning his third World Series. Guys like Teoscar Hernandez, who could have been had by anyone in baseball, being a star over there. You know, guys like Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler coming into that. I knew it was wraps. Walker Buehler coming into that game last night, how well he pitched and how much he's talked about, you know, people talking down their 2020 ring. Now, what can they say? A guy like Jack Flaherty, if you haven't looked up his story, go look up his story. And, you know, him growing up a Dodgers fan, getting traded to the Dodgers, and him winning a World Series with them. There's just, there's a ton of storylines. Even on the Yankee side, Volpe. Now, everybody in the world knows that Volpe is a kid from Jersey that grew up idolizing Derek Jeter, that his family, they were Yankee fans that were going to games, made him a Yankee fan. He was at that parade, and, you know, now he had the grand slam and got to take the picture with Jeter. It's great. It's great. It's just not great for guys like Aaron Judge, guys like Aaron Boone, Garrett Cole, all these guys, really, it's not great. It's a stain. Like, their faces, their comments last night, they were bad. Let's cue up at least one of the clips. Maybe we can play all of them here before we get to 9 from Juan Soto, because I do want to get to the Juan Soto conversation about the season that he had, the future, what's to come, and what you guys are thinking about his post-game comments last night. The first one that we have is about the game, right? So let's play Juan Soto talking about the mistakes that happened in Game 5 last night.
It's tough, but you know it's part of the game. It's part of the game that is going to happen. We don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen. But it's tough. It's tough. At the end of the day, we tried to bounce back. We make another run, and we were right there, but we just couldn't hold it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he didn't have the ball really come to him. He was just sitting on right field, nothing he could do about it. The Yankees did come back, and I think he scored that run, but it is what it is. Let's play the clip of Juan Soto talking about the fans. Of course, they asked him about the Yankee fans. I think my wife asked me, how many games you go to this year? I'm like, I might have went to 45, 50 games this year, which is nuts because of the extended postseason. And I had eyes on Juan Soto every time he came out. I got to see he owns that side of the ballpark. There are so many fans that come out just for him. The roll call is loudest for him. And I know he had an experience of a lifetime playing in Yankee Stadium this year.
Is this your last time in pinstripes? Do you think about that at all?
Yeah, you never know. And, at the end of the day, we will see where we are. Definitely tough game to be my last one, but really happy with what we accomplished as a team.
Oh, I thought we were playing the one where he... Yeah, it's okay. I know what it is. So there was one where, and this was going to segue into the Boris stuff before we get to break. There's a comment that he had where he was asked about the fans. Juan, what about the fans? They really were, you know, the fans are crying, are broken, are defeated after that loss, after they literally set us up and chokeslammed us down last night. And Juan Soto basically says, like, you know, the reception of the fans. Okay, so Alex has it now. Let's play that one.
Fans have been very loud. They've been chanting for you to stay. Do you think that could impact your decision?
Probably impact the decision of the ownership. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Ooh. Definitely really excited and really thankful for those fans. They've been incredible.
That was a cold-ass line. That boy good. Boris, you got one right there. How many times you on Zoom with this guy going over those lines? That was good. He said, more important for the ownership. So, yeah, if you want to talk Juan Soto, where he's headed, I know there's going to be some Mets fans that want to chime in, because I don't know how many of you sent me Photoshop pictures of Juan Soto in a Mets jersey or said he's good as gone, or Steve Cohen. Even Donovan Mitchell goes on Twitter and said, welcome to the Mets. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if it's that simple, but I don't know. I'll give you my thoughts on it right after this. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app